Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. In her career as science coordinator for the state of Texas at Texas Education Agency, Dr. Barbara Tenbrink was invited by Texas A&M University to participate in a two-week geological field trip through Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, and Arizona. This field trip introduced her and hundreds of other science teachers to the American Southwest and to the architecture of Mary Coulter. The work of the Atchison-Topeka-Santa Fe Railroad, the work of the Fred Harvey Company, and the talent and brilliance of Mary Coulter formed a perfect storm to complete their many building projects along the Western Home Movement from her first hire in 1902 until her retirement in 1948. Into the Canyon with Mary Coulter by Dr. Barbara Tenbrink, part of her young adult biography series, is a work of fiction. Cassidy Powell is a fictitious character based on her family's history in Brownfield in Lubbock, Texas. Her exploits and conversations are to weave a story and to connect the true and famous men and women she meets along her journey. Dr. Tenbrink has been in the field of education since 1976, holds degrees in science education, a prolific author now with 33 books in 8 different genres. And we welcome back to This Week in America, Dr. Barbara Tenbrink, author of Into the Canyon with Mary Coulter. Dr. Tenbrink, welcome back to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick Bratton, for having me on This Week in America again. I love you so much. I love the fact that you like my books and you promote my books. Thank you so much. I am so in love with this book. It's my newest of the 33. This is number 33. And this is the one I want to talk about today.
It is an amazing story told through the eyes of a fictitious character. But again, you weave a lot of facts and people into this. Where did this idea come from? What was it when you went on this field trip for 2 weeks and you discovered Mary Coulter, maybe in a different way, that she really fascinated you to the point where I've got to write a book about her? What was it about Mary Coulter?
Well, Rick, since my retirement from science teaching, I have been on this fabulous journey to capture the years of my science teaching, all that science in books. What I'm doing now in retirement is I am writing biographies of scientists. So it's unbelievable. In 3 years, I've written Traveling with Isaac Newton.
Oh, yes.
So what is that traveling? Force and Motion. On the Island with Charles Darwin, of course, that's Galapagos Islands. In the Springtime with Rachel Carson, of course, she wrote Silent Spring and taught us about the environment. Oh my gosh, lovely, lovely story. This one makes me cry still as I read it. During the pandemic with Edward Jenner, you'll remember he invented vaccination.
Yes.
And he cured the world of smallpox. It took 200 years, but we are smallpox free in the world, and now we have COVID. Then, darling, I wrote Through the Microscopes of Antoni von Leeuwenhoek. He's the father of microbiology. He loved microscopes, and I do too. So I wrote a biography of him. But then, and all of those, I looked at the science. I taught science, and you can actually almost sit in my classroom and go through my lessons as you read these books. This
that,
is how
yes.
I taught. And this is how I talked to my students. I was like, okay, now we're going to get into the mind of Antoni von Leeuwenhoek. Well, I went on this field trip, unbelievable opportunity for teachers from Texas A&M University. And we traveled through those states that you mentioned. And as you travel through these Native American ruins, so we're talking ruins that could be between 4,000 and 10,000 years old. And the same inspiration that inspired me and Texas A&M University and this field trip inspired Mary Coulter. And Mary Coulter was hired by Fred Harvey, who was hired by Atchison, Topeka, Santa Fe Railroad. Rick, let's look at the time in American history. It was the Western Hoe movement.
Yes.
Atchison, Topeka, Santa Fe Railroad was building railroads west. So the railroads were going in. And they were utilitarian. They were to tame the West. But people on the East Coast of America, Boston, New York, the East Coast, St. Louis, wanted to see, well, what are they talking about? There's Indians? There's bison? Oh, my God, we want to see this. So people wanted to travel west. They didn't want to go live there. They wanted to travel. So Santa Fe said, we'll sell you a ticket. Get on the train and you can go see this stuff. However, there was no place to eat and no place to stay, to spend the night. And these are people who can't afford to travel. So they want to be treated to a nice meal. So, Fred Harvey got the consignment with Atchison, Topeka, Santa Fe Railroad, and he started building hotels and restaurants along this route. And then in 1902, he hires Mary Coulter.
And she was a designer. She started off and became an architect at a time when very few women were architects. That really was a man's game, wasn't it?
Exactly. And we have to admire her tenacity, her talent for detail, her eye for design, her imagination. So, darling, Mary Coulter was so inspired, and she did her research. She hired Native American elders. She hired let's talk about Native Americans. Native Americans built across the southwest of the United States. They built watchtowers. They built pueblos. A lot of our listeners have read about Mesa Verde, these ruins now that are national monuments or national parks conserved by the United States park system. And Mary Coulter was inspired by all that. So when we look at her buildings, they have a lot of indigenous art from our American natives. It's so beautiful that she captured the essence of what these natives were doing 2,000, 10,000 years ago. And what you were saying, Rick, not just the architecture, which is exactly true to the buildings and the ruins of the Native Americans, but also the art. And she was the designer on the interior. She did the landscaping. She designed the furniture. She had factories on the construction site. She would put up a factory where they built furniture to look like 150 years ago furniture.
It's an amazing story. If you're just joining us, our guest once again on the program is Dr. Barbara Tenbrink, TenBrink. This book is Into the Canyon with Mary Coulter, a fascinating character in history, sort of a whole one-woman unit that went out there and could do everything. She could design, she could build it, she could furnish it. Just a remarkable story. Dr. Tenbrink's website is authorbarbaratenbrink.com. I'll give you that again, and we'll have that on our website. A book, of course, available on Amazon, all the usual places, published by mainspringbooks.com. You'll find the book there as well. On Barbara's website, you'll be able to link onto all of the books that she's written in this, all of her books, including the young adult series. Let's talk about, once again, Mary. I mean, a fascinating person to read about. She helped create a style as well, didn't she? She was, her legacy lives on with a lot of the architecture in that area.
The beautiful thing is, if you look at Fred Harvey, he's got the consignment. He was a yes. restaurateur and a hotelier, and he had the consignment. So if you look at his history, even the Harvey girls are mentioned. He brought 100,000 women on trains, free transportation, to work as waitresses and hostesses in his hotels and restaurants. They're mentioned in my book. Mary Coulter was the architect, one of his architects. And the beautiful thing is, Rick, and what I want to talk to you about me with my book, me as the author. My young adult series is scientist biographies. I consider architecture a science. There's physics, geometry, material science.
Yes.
This book went in a different direction for me. I looked at the art of architecture. And it's such a beautifully written book where it takes the readers on these ethereal journeys. They rent airplanes and go look at ruins from the air. She was just innovative, and she went to the source to do her research. And I capture that in my book.
You
I love
do.
It so much. I love the fact that you introduced it from my teacher's and my author's notes. Thank you so much. Mary Coulter was amazing. She had a collection of over 1,500 Native American jewelry pieces that are still on exhibit. Just amazing.
Well, you make her come alive. I love the passion in telling the story. And the book has been written, you know, you're on to other book projects. But Mary is still somewhere in your mind, isn't she? She is there and she comes alive. And you want to find out even more about her as you read this book. What an amazing person. Told through the eyes of Cassidy. Talk a little bit about creating Cassidy. Here is a...
That's amazing, too.
Well, it is. Here's a whole family that's behind her, literally goes to college with her. Talk a little bit about Cassidy, through which we learn about Mary.
All right. So the beautiful thing is, Rick, I'm from Brownfield. I went to Texas Tech. My family, still to this day, are cotton farmers in Brownfield. So my family valued education. And my fictional character is kind of almost a mini-me autobiography of me graduating from Texas Tech and leaving for my life as a teacher. Well, little Cassidy, my fictional character, who's a mini-me,
yes.
graduates from Texas Tech and gets on a train. Here we introduce our train
yes.
travel and goes to Santa Fe for her first teaching job. Well, Santa Fe is the heart of the Westward Ho movement and the American Southwest. It expanded finally to Phoenix, etc. There's many, many, and then of course the Grand Canyon. My story, Mary Coulter, constructs are in the Grand Canyon. Cassidy meets Mary Coulter on her train trip to Santa Fe. And Mary Coulter offers her a job. Now, teachers have time in the summer. They have 2 months off in the
yes.
summer. So Mary Coulter says, "You join me, Cassidy, in the Grand Canyon." So now, darling, what happens, Rick, is I can take our readers with us on a train to the Grand Canyon and witness Mary Coulter's constructions.
It's just amazing. You tell the story and the story comes to life. And boy, I would have loved to have been a student of yours, because you take the subject that some of us go, yeah, okay, it's a little boring, maybe just reading about it in a book. You make these people come alive. In this case, Mary Coulter. The book is Into the Canyon with Mary Coulter. The author, our guest, Dr. Barbara Tenbrink. That's two words, T-E-N-B-R-I-N-K. Her website is simple, authorbarbaratenbrink.com. Book at Amazon, the usual places. We'll have all of this on our website. What do you hope the impact will be? The book is part of the young adult novel series, but I'm an adult. I'm way beyond young adult. I'm like older adult category. Like, oldest adult category. What do you hope the impact is with the reader? Because there are so many great stories with Cassidy as well as with Mary and the other men and women that you introduce us to.
Well, darling, this one is the value of education.
Yes.
The very first chapter starts with Cassidy's graduation from college. And then the value of hard work. Cassidy becomes a really amazing, guess what? She becomes a science teacher in Santa Fe. Mary Coulter had a work ethic like nobody else ever. And so there's those values that are in the book. The other thing, Rick, is the beauty of the book, the beauty of the words. So when I told you I went in the direction of art, I used poetry. You know, two of my genres, haiku and epic poems. So in this book, it ends with an epic poem of Mary Coulter and Cassidy watching the sunset over the Grand Canyon. I mean, how more inspiring is that? And our readers will journey with us, and maybe they'll enjoy a sunset. Just beautiful.
You bring it to life. You can visualize that as Dr. Ten Brink is concluding the book. The book is Into the Canyon with Mary Coulter. A couple more minutes in the program. The time has gone by too quickly. Buy the book. Read it yourself and leave it out for young people in the household to read as well. I mentioned 33 books, 8 different genres. What are you working on now? I love these stories, the way you choose these people. What's next for you?
Well, I have a new biography in my head, and I'm doing the research now, and I want to do, and I even have my title, On the Silk Road with Marco Polo.
Ooh, very good.
Oh my gosh, oh my gosh. You talk about rich descriptions. Can you even imagine the fabrics and the jewelry and the just amazing travel? 17 years of Marco Polo traveling the Silk Road and then the Spice Route. So that's my next young adult. I'm also got my haiku volume 9 is ready for publication. So
fantastic. How difficult, how challenging is it when you do a book, a Mary Coulter, the Marco Polo you're working on, you do research and all of a sudden you've got pages and pages and pages. How difficult is that to funnel that into a manuscript for the next book? I would think you'd be almost overwhelmed with research and great story ideas.
Darling, I don't know how this is happening. And I have a lot of interviewers like yourself who ask me, how is this even possible? 33 books in 3 years in 8 genres. What I want to tell you, Rick, is this. The ideas are in my head already written. Plus, like Mary Coulter, you know, I lived that field trip that I went on. So the words were forming in my head for all these years. Here's what I want to tell you. These books flow out of my pen.
Amazing.
It's unbelievable to me.
A true storyteller.
My poetry flows out of my pen. It's just...
Well, keep the pen close by because these ideas come. And what? Tell me about the teaching background, because you take this subject, if you're going to write about young adult topics, make it appeal to young people, you know firsthand what appeals to young people because you stood in front of them for years. How beneficial is that in writing the story, knowing that this approach will capture their attention and will motivate them?
Well, exactly. In fact, the beautiful thing about making Cassidy a science teacher is, darling, I did exactly what your question is asking.
Yes.
I put in my chapter her first year of teaching, I'm telling the readers how I was a teacher. Example, all of these scientists became posters. Their portraits were posters in my classroom. And so when I would teach force and motion, I would say, children, this is Isaac Newton. Look at him. He is with us today in our lesson. And so remember Rick, I don't always tell how long I taught, but for all those years, these scientists were with me in my classroom. Now I'm putting them down on paper.
Well, and they're with us in real life today. You know, the microscope we talked about in the last program that's available on our website. All of these people that you talk about, it touches our lives today. Mary Coulter created a whole series of works in Grand Canyon National Park, and people will go there and enjoy what she has done. These are people that maybe not alive today and contributing today. Their contributions will last for generations, won't they?
That's exactly how I feel. I feel like these are legacies. They're legacies. Can you imagine? Edward Jenner would not let it go. He worked his entire life solving one problem, and he did. We have the results of his work to this day. Every one of us have been vaccinated for COVID. That is thanks to Edward Jenner. I mean, darling, yes, their legacy is with us. And Rick, your programs are your legacy. My books are my legacy. Oh my gosh. Yes, they're with us.
When you are deciding for the young adult series that we've talked about, how do you choose? What criteria do you look for in a subject that you are like, okay, this meets all my criteria, I'm going to write a book?
The books are already in my head, Rick. They're already in there. The first one, it just had to come out. Isaac Newton.
Yes.
I mean, these are the scientists, the science. People say, well, what science did you teach? I was fortunate because I was a science education administrator. I taught all the sciences. And so physics, biology, microbiology, chemistry, they're all sciences that I taught. And so who was the scientist that led that study 100 years ago,
yes.
300 years ago?
And it's again, the connection is fantastic when you look at who Dr. Ken Brink has written about. And again, their contributions live on today. And the series is so well done, designed for young adults and oldest Americans as well. I'll throw myself in there again, because this is a book that everything just comes alive. A minute here left. I'm anxious to talk about Marco Polo. How long do you think before that may be available?
Well, 2023. It'll be published in 2023.
Well, we will look forward to that. And our guest.
Are we going to do an interview, Rick?
Yes, I'm marking it down now. I've crossed out the rest of the year, just waiting for you to call me back, and
okay.
I will. Yeah, you'll take precedent. We'll get you on to talk about this, Dr. Barbara Ten Brink. That's TenBrink. Her website, author BarbaraTenBrink.com. The book available Amazon, Barnes and Noble, the usual places, including the publisher MainspringBooks.com, where they make your story come to life, and of course, all this on our website. Dr. Ten Brink, it is always a pleasure. I love the enthusiasm. I love what you've done with this book with Mary Coulter. I want to learn more about Mary, and we'll continue. You've really made her come alive to me, a fascinating lady. Thank you for sharing the story with us on the program, and we will do it again very soon.
Thank you, Rick Breton. Thank you so much, everybody. Please read my books.
It has been a pleasure having back with us Dr. Barbara Ten Brink, the book, This One, Into the Canyon with Mary Coulter. You'll find the book available wherever books are sold. And, of course, link onto her website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Breton. More after this.